Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Thanksgiving, and you're going to get together with your friends and family, love each other, argue with each other. Maybe somebody's going to drink too much. Right now, though, I'm on the south side in the parking lot of Mercy Hospital, where three people were murdered just before Thanksgiving. The emergency room doctor, Tamara O'Neill, a pharmacy worker, shot as she was coming off an elevator. And Chicago police officer, Samuel Jimenez, 28, father of three, who ran toward the gunfire and gave his life to save others. Mayor Emanuel was aching and eloquent in pain the other day, talking about the face of evil, talking about that hole in the hearts of victims, talking about police families on Thanksgiving. And he said to remember the most important thing, asking each of us to hold our children close. And hours after the shooting, I called the father of two young police officers. Paul Vallis, candidate for mayor, whose sons are the police, the real police, who make arrests, chase criminals. And they call him after their shifts every day. I asked him, can families without police officers understand this ache and this feeling? Here's what he said. Who am I to judge what others feel? With my boys, when a cop is shot, they hurt. And if you have any police officers in your family, you know this feeling. And then he was silent. He paused, and we had that silence on the phone, you know. Neither of us saying anything. And then he said, my sons call me just like clockwork after every shift. And after every shift, they call. I have such good boys. I'm blessed. What happened at Mercy the other day was tragic, yes, and we should hug our loved ones and think about loss as we gather together to give thanks. That's the first thing. But there's joy in life too, isn't there? Joy in getting together, crowded around that big table, wonder if it's safe to talk politics, wondering if there's any Mrs. Grass onion soup dip mix, and trying to remember what Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man said. My friend Jeff Carlin and co-host here, the man who's magic with sound and producer of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis, has his Thanksgiving thoughts to share with you. And me too. I'm John Cass, husband, father, friend of Zeus, columnist of the Chicago Tribune. And you know where you are? You might be sipping eggnog or something stronger. And the holiday rush begins. And you're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Yes, Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man is ready. He's got a pipe in his mouth, smiling gently, wearing a cardigan sweater, ready to carve the bird, but first ready to dispense all sorts of Thanksgiving advice. But before we get into that, what about Jeff Carlin? You know, Jeff Carlin is a man of many talents, and he's got his thoughts, too, on Thanksgiving. So, Jeff, what about it?
Thanks, John. As Thanksgiving's here, I think about all the things I'm thankful for, starting with my friends and family and the fun things I get to do at work. But some of my favorite memories come from hanging out with my godkids, with my nephew,
Trevor,
and my niece,
Sarah,
and my littlest nephew,
Willem.
And they are probably the most fun I have in my life, is playing games with them. What's some of our favorite games?
Hide and seek.
Yeah, hide and seek. And then right now as we're preparing for Thanksgiving and I tape this, we're getting ready to do what all good kids should do. And Will's favorite, what are we going to do, Will?
Build a fort.
Yeah, we're going to build a fort. And it's always one of my favorite memories is gorging ourselves on delicious food and spending time playing games and watching football and building forts and celebrating birthdays because my birthday falls on Thanksgiving this year. And so from my family to everyone out there listening on the Chicago Way, thank you so much for taking time to listen to what we have to say. And I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving from all of us to all of you.
Happy Thanksgiving!
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the year, to join hands and thank the Creator. Now when Thanksgiving is due, and this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
I just got another posting on my Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man post on Facebook. It's from Matt Cavanaugh. And he says, why do my in-laws insist on preparing pasta bolognese for Thanksgiving? Gee, Matt, because they're Italian? Did you ever hear about the Italian tribe? They were at the first Thanksgiving, too. The Calabrese and the Sicilians showed up to help the English pilgrims learn how to eat. And the Greeks showed up with lamb. And the Armenians, too, and baba ganoush. And the African tribe showed up with okra and jerk chicken. And the Swedes showed up with, I don't know, Jell-O or something. I don't know what the Swedish thing is. I'm sorry. I've forgotten. But all these tribes come together. The Irish tribes come together. The Greeks, the Africans, the Latinos. You know, the Latino tribe. Oh, my God. They brought such wonderful food like braised goat for 14 hours and tacos handmade. Oh, my God. It's legendary. All that was in the first Thanksgiving. And just because it's not in the history books doesn't mean it didn't happen. I'm going to read you some of the other ones because Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man wants to dispense advice. I've always wanted to be an advice columnist. Dear Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man, is it okay to get half of the bag before your lazy-ass relatives show up just so the day goes by easier? Bob Traz. Yes, Bob. I think I'd go full bag. Just start drinking at 9 o'clock and you're going to have a great Thanksgiving. Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man, how long should one microwave a 20-pound turkey to kill all the salmonella? Deborah Kruger. 20 seconds sounds right. Take the raw turkey out of the microwave, and then you put it on a platter. Make sure it's all sanitary. And then you lick it dry. Yeah, the whole turkey. Lick it with your tongue. And if that doesn't work, don't blame me. Lisa Padreza Rodriguez asks, Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man, what method do you use to candy your yams? I really wanted to answer that, but my wife said that I shouldn't. Betty said don't. So I won't. Here's one. This is from Tim Perry. When my uncle shows up with his prosthetic eye that says, Make America Great Again, where the pupil should be, and flashes it at my liberal stepsister, do I ask him to put his eye patch back on? Or do I tell her not to discuss politics at Thanksgiving? Thanks in advance for your advice, Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man. Tim Perry, don't you dare tell your uncle to cover his eye. And don't you dare tell your liberal stepsister what to say. When everyone's seated and you've said grace, just take that razor-sharp carving knife, wipe it with alcohol to make it clean, and announce that the knife is now the Jim Acosta talking stick. And then let God decide. From Joseph Hanch, is the pea catapult or the individual pea slingshot a more effective Thanksgiving Day weapon? Joseph Hanch. I think, Joseph, that for Thanksgiving food fights, the individual pea slingshot made of a large rubber band offers the best odds of pea splattage if they're cooked softly, or boinkage if they're firm, because then they'll boink off your brother-in-law's forehead. I would suggest the sweet potato medieval trebuchet, but beware lest you strike wall or your hostess. Here's one from Jennifer Beatty. Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man, cranberry sauce jellied or whole? The savages I have at Thanksgiving always clamored for the canned jelly with the unmarred ridges. Jennifer Beatty. Jennifer, there's nothing like canned cranberry jelly plopped out of a can so you can see the wiggling ridges. It's a food pleasing to the barbarian eye. Garnish with parsley. They won't care. Here's one from Raymond Morgan. Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man, how do I tell my wife I hate it when she uses the cooking bags because the meat is usually dry? Can I suggest a brine? She's been doing this for 38 years, so I'm a little nervous. Raymond Morgan. Ray. You spent 38 years eating dry turkey, and you've been too afraid to say a thing? It's too late, man. It's too late. Claire McCaskill in Missouri, the senator, remember the Democratic senator, told Mendes, just shut up about brine. She lost. And you know what, Jeff? I mean, Ray, I think you lost too. You don't say anything for 38 years, you might as well keep your mouth shut for 38 more and don't bother your poor wife. Dear Thanksgiving Advice Man, this is from David Addison. Is using a samurai katana too much, or should I use my marine K-bar to carve up the bird? I think that a samurai sword would be the perfect thing for turkey. If it can lop a head, it can cut turkey. Remember this. Talk politics, drink to excess, and you might end up in the emergency room or the police station. Try to love each other on Thanksgiving. And as far as the kid table go, you can have a kid table if you don't have any room, but remember this. The kids are your family too, right? How about a long table if you can? Or if you can't, why don't you have a dessert table where everybody sits around it and squeezes together and has dessert and coffee, and you can tell stories about your family and let the kids hear you and hear you tell stories about your brothers and your sisters and your father and mother. So they're part of these stories too. It's Thanksgiving, man. Thanksgiving.
I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moonrise over a prairie, and old love that you've made new. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
My favorite Thanksgiving, when I was a little boy, I worked at the family store, you know, the one on 55th in California. And I was bagging for my Aunt Fanny. She was born here. In this country, and never really learned to speak English without an accent. Loved her. Anyway, she's at the checkout counter, the cashier. Cashier, I'm the bag boy. A woman comes up, puts down celery, cranberry jelly, croutons for stuffing, a few spices, I think some salt, maybe some flour or something, but no turkey. There were carrots too. No turkey. And my Aunt Fanny, she's like, she was past now, but then she was, you know, maybe about 5'3". And the woman was, I don't know, 6'3" and about 300, maybe about 280 pounds, a very large woman. And with, you know, all the stuffing, all the trimmings for Thanksgiving, but no turkey. My Aunt Fanny looks at her and says, excuse me, miss, in her Greek accent, missus, excuse me, where's the turkey? You forgot the turkey. And the woman just stared at her. And Theophany turns and gives me a look. And I give her one, shrugging my shoulders. I'm like 10 years old. And all of a sudden, the woman seemed a little flustered. I heard a thunk. It was like thunk. I mean, really a thunk. It was a 20-pound frozen turkey that she had somewhere under her coat. I guess she couldn't hold it any longer, but it fell, and it hit the ground and started skittering down. There was a slope from the cashier's down to the automatic door, and the big butterball frozen turkey, 20-plus pounds, hit the ground, hit the floor, and started sliding. She's like, oh, my God, and my Aunt Fanny's like, there's the turkey. What do you forgot it? There it is. And the thing kept sliding, and it landed on that, you know, pad when you press the automatic door opening pad. And the turkey was heavy enough, it hit the automatic door pad, the door flung open, and the turkey slid out on the sidewalk. slid out onto the street. Oh, God. The woman was flustered, you know, the large giantess, let's say, and she just took off. And I was not about to stop her, okay? I came up to her navel. Oh, yeah. Frozen turkey. I brought it back. My Aunt Fanny says, bring it back. Wipe it off. Give it to your father. So I put it lovingly in a shopping bag and carried it back to my dad. I don't know what happened. I don't know if we sold it. I mean, it was frozen, okay? Frozen turkey. Nothing really happened to it. And it was covered in plastic. It wasn't, like, raw. I mean, she didn't hold the skin between her thighs. She just dropped the turkey wherever she had it. That's one of the stories we used to tell around the Thanksgiving table. For Jeff Carlin, my friend and WGN producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVolantes. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, Zeus friend, columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Have a great Thanksgiving from the Chicago way on WGN Plus.
When the time comes to be going, it won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.